you're in the right place. This is the Monarch Asylum podcast. Just starting the show a little differently this week. For those of you that normally listen, thank you for tuning back in. You know, this is the time where I normally have a little bit of music playing, you know, upbeat music with some sound bites, kind of getting you ready for the show. But for those of you new to the program, you have to understand I live and work in Miami as a sports cameraman. So for the last 4 days, I've been dealing with the Jose Fernandez tragedy. I almost postponed the podcast because it was just a little too much. I had a lot to do, but I worked through and got it done. But it's been a rough 4 days. Pretty busy with work. Pretty sad at that locker room, in that clubhouse, and at that field. And I'll get more into that later. But now let's talk football. So this is the ODU Asylum. This is the Monarch Asylum. You can follow us on Twitter at ODU Asylum. Got to talk about the big win. Great win last week, 33-19 over UTSA, University of Texas at San Antonio, the Roadrunners. 33-19, the biggest margin of victory for Old Dominion in a Conference USA game. So that's good to see. Their previous five games were all decided by pretty much a field goal or less. The 19 points is also a record for the fewest amount of points ever surrendered in a Conference USA game. So that's a good sign. And I guess they covered the spread if you're a gambler. So if you cover the spread, that means you got to be doing something right. All right, it's time for the recap. A beautiful day in Norfolk as the Monarchs take the opening kick, drive right down the field, and get greeted with their first third down of the game. A 3rd and 12, no less. And what do? They run the ball, which they tend to do a lot on 3rd and long. Which is kind of frustrating. I mean, at some point, you know, run a play action or run something different. I'm going to have to crunch some numbers on that and see what they do in 3rd and longs and 3rd and 7 or 8 or more. Because, God, I really feel like they run it a good 70% of the time. So I'm going to work on that for the next podcast. But, yeah, they got to fix that. I just don't understand all that running. But, listen, so they have to punt. But the defense showed up today. They get 1 3-and-out, get the ball back to the offense, and the offense got right to work. It only took them 3 plays to score. The first play, Jeremy Cox for 9 yards. Then
3 wide receivers to the far side. Cox to the left of David Washington. The 2nd down and 1. Free play almost. Washington steps up, has a 1st down, and then much more. He's to the 35, 30. David Washington to the far side. 20, 15, 10, 5. Brought down at the 4-yard line.
After that, Jeremy Cox would take it home.
Washington hands the ball off. Right up the middle, it's Jeremy Cox. The leg's still moving. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, Old Dominion. Monarchs on the board first.
Quick offense, up-tempo, power drive by the running back. Keeps his feet moving and finishes the drive. That is what they needed to do. Finish the drive in the red zone.
We just tried to keep banging it. Keep banging it to him, and we came out successfully.
ODU would miss the extra point. Not breaking any news on that front. Bailey Kate lined up and missed it. They're up 6-0. UTSA went 3-and-out in the next 2 drives. The defense showed up today. Listen, when have we ever said an ODU defense had 3 straight 3-and-outs for the other team? I don't remember that happening too often. It may have never happened. So, yeah, that's a lot of numbers to crunch. I don't know if I'm going to go back and look that up. But, hey, this is shines the defense is improving. And they're getting contributions from even backup players.
Now with 3 wideouts to the far side, 1 to the near. Williams to the right of the shotgun standing quarterback Sturm. Sturm the junior, 6'2", play action pass, straight drop back. Now he's going to run into problems. He's going to get taken down at the 1. Oh, look who's getting in there. That's Tim Ward.
UTSA would get the ball moving. It would be the Jalen Rhodes and Jarvian Williams show, getting all of the yards in a 13-play, 81-yard touchdown drive. Extra point is good. And this is what ran through my mind. We're down 7-6. Why did that 1 point seem like a country mile? This was the point where I started thinking the kicking game was going to cost us this game. And I was not real happy at this point. I was a little bit nervous. ODU would trade drives with UTSA, no one scoring, until UTSA started to score, show some life again. They get close to the end zone, threatening to take a touchdown lead, until Brandon Addison came up with the play of the game.
And Sturm's back to throw. Big play. Looking for it all. Near side. Pass is going to be intercepted in the end zone. That's Brandon Addison. Big play, Monarch defense.
Big play by Addison. Big play by O'Shane Jimenez that got the pressure on Sturm in his face when he was throwing that. The ball wasn't that bad, but perfect positioning by Addison.
I knew the pass concept, and I saw what he was trying to do, so I tried to bait him, and then he threw it, and I was so happy. I was like, it's my chance to help my teammates out, because the offense was struggling, and I just went up and got it. This is my 15th game. Dropped a couple last year, so everybody was happy to see me catch my first one. We always joke, the first one's always the hardest one to get, so it was just a great feeling.
That would lead to an 8-play, 80-yard drive, capped off by David Washington.
Washington claps the hands, hands it off to, keeps it himself. Oh, what a fake! Touchdown, Old Dominion! David Washington strolled into the near side end zone.
I told you, eventually he's going to keep that himself. Eventually he's going to make the read and take it. And you're right, he strolled in. No problems on that one.
The extra point is good. Stop the presses. ODU up 13-7 at the half. You know, Bobby Wilder before the game mentioned about units feeding off each other, how they have to, that's the way to a quick start, is when one unit makes a good play, the other unit needs to feed off it. And we saw that at the end of the first half. We saw it when Brandon Addison came with that big interception and the offense came right around and scored. Actually, after the game, Brandon Addison admitted that that play woke David Washington up.
I always try to bring energy. And Dave said it to me in the locker room. He said that helped him wake up a little bit. We came out a little flat at the start. Like, we weren't as energetic as we usually are. So I definitely feel like that helped.
Hey, the second half, that trend would continue. ODU forces a fumble on the first play for the Roadrunners. It would only take ODU 6 plays to find pay dirt.
Wide receivers, 2 to each side. And Washington gives the ball to Cox. Off left tackle. Touchdown, Old Dominion. Jeremy Cox, his second of the day.
Big hold on the left side that time. Washington read it well. Hand off, good blocking on the left. And into the end zone goes Cox for the second time.
I was really impressed, Doug, with our offensive line today. I thought they were physical. They came off the field and they kept saying, "Coach, we want to run the ball." Well, we rushed for 240 yards, so a lot of credit.
Extra point is blocked. Yep, blocked and returned for 2. I mean, really? Seriously, that actually happens? So we've had a missed extra point, a converted extra point, and a blocked extra point. Adventures in kicking continues. A UTSA field goal cuts the lead to 7, but ODU gets right back to work. A 13-play, 82-yard drive. Travis Fulham, 3 catches for 30 yards. Jonathan Duhart, 2 catches for 27 yards on that drive. The last catch from 2 yards out.
The snap is good. Washington to throw, near side, guns it, pass, caught. Touchdown, Old Dominion, and that's Jonathan Duhart. Oh, nice little hedging by Duhart as he turned and put his back right into the defensive back, Chase Dahlquist. The ball met him, and that's another score for the Monarchs.
They run a lot of cover 3, so if you can just get into that blind spot, stopping the blind spot, it's going to be there most of the time. So, you know, I talked to Dave about it, and Dave made the adjustments, and we moved ball out.
Okay, so since obviously the kicking game is a merry-go-round, or I don't know, I mean, it's a shooting gallery. You miss and you hit. The kicking game, we all know about it. It's time to go for 2. Well, we missed the 2-point conversion, and now I'm really starting to worry. Now I'm thinking we got to expand our 2-yard game. We need like 20 more 2-yard plays, and now I'm just expecting them to miss, just get 6 and miss it every time. So now I'm getting really negative and worried. UTSA gets a touchdown to keep up with ODU, but the Monarch offense is rolling right now. Next possession, 9 plays, 82 yards. Their touchdown on their 3rd straight possession. And it was that man Duhart again.
David Washington throws the fade to Duhart. He goes up, he makes the grab, and it's a touchdown, Old Dominion. Duhart again climbing the ladder for 6.
Jumping over McGee, who goes 6 foot. Duhart makes the catch and comes down with it. And that play looked like it was covered. McGee looked like he was in very good position. Duhart just out-jumps him.
All right, the 2-point conversion was good this time. So I'm feeling my blood pressure's coming back down. ODU builds a nice 33-19 lead. And that would stand the rest of the way. The defense stepping up, shutting down UTSA, keeping the Roadrunners at bay, playing a successful Wile E. Coyote to the Roadrunners, if you will, this time, forcing UTSA actually to change starting quarterbacks. So I was worried about Dalton Sturm going into this game, but he got benched. So you got to give the defense credit. They have been as advertised so far. Keep talking about that every week, and it's good to see them continue that trend. But ODU wins 33-19, the largest margin of victory since joining Conference USA. Time now for my thoughts on the game.
Yeah,
us, it's everybody's favorite new game show, Kicking Game 2016. Can you kick an extra point? Can you make a chip shot field goal? Well, ODU might be the team for you. Okay, I know it's not a game show, but man, it really feels like one right now. After the Kirtley injury, Joe Tillman got a kick. Our walk-on, he got a chance. I don't think he was ever seriously given a chance to win the job, but I'm at the point now, if you can make an extra point, make an extra point. Let's fix that first. Let's fix the extra point problem first. Hey, Bailey Cate struggled. He even admitted struggling on the interview of the podcast last week, and you can just kind of hear that he was kind of struggling with it. Brad Davis had his chance before. He missed a field goal, but now it's his chance again. So it is adventures in kicking. Like I said, let's just fix the extra points right now. I'm fine with going for it on fourth down, especially if you can move the ball and get fourth and shorts. But man, those extra points, you can't play for six and you can't go for two all the time. You need to be able to kick extra points. And Bobby Nowilder knows that. He even admitted this week they're going back to Brad Davis. He's the kicker now. Here's a quote from Bobby Wilder. Quote, "We're going to go back into the Charlotte game with the mindset that we're going to kick extra points and field goals," said Wilder. "We're not going to shy away from it." Now, listen, I think he's going to go for it on fourth down more times than not. If it's fourth and short and the offense is moving, I think he's going to be aggressive that way. He's already admitted he doesn't trust a field goal over 30 yards, so I doubt he's going to start kicking 35 and 40-yard field goals. So the offense is still going to have to move the ball. So let's just fix the extra points. Let's just make sure we get some extra points. Let's start there. Now the defense. Let's go. The defense looks like the real deal, man. They showed up again. They got, you know, the defensive line is showing that they can control the line of scrimmage, and that makes stopping the run game a little better, and it helps the defense, the secondary and the back end. So that's been a good sign to see, especially going into a game like this against UTSA, where if that is ODU's best unit on the field, they need to play like it, and they did. Controlling Sturm was key in this game, and it actually, Sturm got benched, and that's, to Bobby Wilder, that's the highest compliment you can give a defense.
The biggest compliment I could give to our defense today is they got a very good quarterback benched. They got a guy who was accounting for 75% of their offense, had accounted for 9 of their 10 touchdowns, and they got him benched.
And as far as the DBs on the back end, you know, some of the experience is showing there, which is good to see. You know, Brandon Addison mentioned after the game how he deked. He kind of played a little game with the quarterback, and it worked. So it's nice to see that they have that kind of experience back there. You know, Justice Davila talks about that later in the show. He's one of our guests, and he mentions that. So it's nice to see that experience coming through. The offense, other side of the ball, listen, good and balanced. 207 in the air, 238 on the ground. You know, this is a game they wanted to control the line of scrimmage, so I thought we'd see a lot more of the run, and it was there. You know, still some missed passes. Those number, once again, that's a kind of a recurring theme to, you know, probably should have made 40, 50 more yards in the air. You know, there's a couple air mails. David Washington is not the most accurate. You know, he really needs to set his feet. You know, when he's kind of dancing back there in the pocket to avoid, if he doesn't really set his feet and throw right, that's when he kind of airmail stuff. So he's really got to work on that, you know, the technique and using his feet to set up the throws. But the most important thing with the offense, 2 turnovers in 4 games. I mean, you take that all year long. You know, and one of those was a Blake LaRussa fumble late in the first half against Hampton when ODU had a lead and were doing a little, musical quarterback to get some guys' experience. So, you know, that's fantastic. And it actually leads to a story I heard about, which to me, I absolutely love when I hear these stories, that if at an ODU practice, if you're on offense and you fumble the ball, you get pulled. Get pulled from the practice. You get benched at practice if you fumble. And that's not for one play. It's not for 2 plays. It's for the rest of the practice. So preaching ball security like that in a practice, I've never heard a coach do that. I love that because that puts the urgency on the player. And it shows you how important it is not to fumble. Because if you're not practicing, I'm not guessing you're going to play, would be my guess. Or because your backups are going to get touches, and they're going to put plays in for your backup. So I love that. I think that's fantastic. Now, the quarterback, David Washington, you know, like I said, not turning the ball over. That's A1A. You know, Bobby, that's what Bobby wants to do. He wants to run the ball, set up play action, move the ball, and not turn the ball over. That's a recipe to win. 21 of 35 passing for David Washington, 207 yards in the air, two touchdowns throwing, 69 rushing yards, one for a touchdown. Listen, that's the versatility. You know, I think Bobby would take that stat line every week from David Washington. Heck, I would too. I would need about, you know, maybe 50 more yards passing with a little more accuracy instead of 21 for 35, like, see, you know, 26 for 35, somewhere around there. But that's nice versatility, but he's got to work on that accuracy. He really has to. The running backs, the baby bull, little banged up again, a sprained ankle this time, you know, in addition to the little hammy tweaks he's been fighting. So luckily, Jeremy Cox looks like a more than capable backup. 22 touches, 103 yards, two touchdowns, and brings just a little different style of run. So it'd be nice when we get Ray Lowry healthy to have that little 1-2 punch. And it's nice, too, that you don't need to put a lot of extra weight on the baby bull with Jeremy Cox producing like this. Finally, the wide receivers. Jonathan Duhart, I mean, he hates the Roadrunners. We talk about that later in the podcast with him. Six catches, 86 yards, two touchdowns. Last year, he had a 162 touchdowns against him. And it was nice to see Travis Fulgham show up. Five catches for 55 yards. The five catches, a career high. You know, nice. I think that's what they want to do with the receivers. They want to spread it around. They don't just want to – Pascal's the main guy, but they want to spread all that around. And finally, the offensive line, no sacks. I mean, no sacks. I mean, that's what you want, right? Now, some of that is David Washington with his nimbleness, but that's the offense you run. So you got to give credit to that offensive line really developing well, especially with some, you know, a couple players that are pretty young on there. All right. Yeah. It's time for the player interviews.
You used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline blink, that can only mean one thing.
All right, continuing on the Monarch Asylum podcast, want to welcome Josh Duhart, wide receiver, 6'3", 220 pounds, so a pretty big boy out of Midlothian, Virginia. Jonathan, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Listen, first of all, what do you have against UTSA? Do you just hate the Roadrunners? Because in two games, you have 14 catches, 246 yards, and four touchdowns. So what did they do to you?
Nothing against them.
Okay, it's just kind of one of those things, the way it worked out.
Yeah, it was one of those things.
Take me back to that game. You just kind of seemed to hit a groove, and you made a couple great catches. I hate to use the word streaky receiver, but it seems like you kind of have that tendency where you either catch a couple or you catch a lot.
Yeah. I mean, once you get a rhythm, you know, everything just kind of falls into place and flows together. So I got in a rhythm in the second half, and I just kind of, you know, kept rolling with it.
Do you see coverage differences? I mean, what do you see coverage-wise on how they cover you? Because it seems to me like Zach does get a lot of the primary coverage. He's kind of like the guy that they want to get first. So how does that affect you?
I mean, yeah, normally, I mean, you just say they ran a lot of cover three, and they would usually roll it towards that. So, I mean, that usually leaves, you know, one-on-one matches backside. So I don't take advantage of those.
Which?
Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, it makes what?
Yeah. That makes it a little easier when you got someone on the other side like Zach. You know, DJ Tech.
I think people forget that David Washington has played, I think, what now, eight games at quarterback after switching over. How have you seen him grow into the position?
He's become more confident. You know, he's showing more pocket presence. He's hanging in there, throwing the ball, and he's just working with us to get the timing down and stuff like that.
Can you guys do extra work, or how do you help him to get the timing? Is that just
We stay after practice. You know, we work on timing, timing routes, like, you know, out routes and stuff like that. Get him, you know, better with ball placement and stuff like that.
Let's talk a little bit about the offense. It seems like one of the early themes is not being able to finish drives, some struggles early on third and fourth down. How do you address that during the week?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a lot of live stuff, when it comes to the goal line, trying to, you know, finish drives, you know, and also help the defense, you know, work on their red zone progression. So, I mean, we're putting a lot of emphasis on it. We're doing, as a receiving core, we're doing a lot of one-on-ones. Quarterbacks, you know, do one-on-ones with us. Running backs, you know, they work on pushing the pile, stuff like that.
Yeah, it seems to me that happens a lot now in the college and NFL game that, you know, with the aggressive defenses, you're going to have a one-on-one matchup, and the key is to recognize it and take advantage of it's there. So is that something, I know David mentioned it and Zach did a couple weeks ago, that they kind of can sometimes take a look at each other and realize this is what we want to do. Do you have that kind of same rapport with David? Are you still working with that?
We pretty much got it. You know, I just... If you see a look that you like, then you just kind of look at him. You know, David's a smart quarterback. He most of the time, I see it too, and you know, he'll even get play to it. Or if it's already on, he'll definitely give it to you.
What has impressed you about the offense so far this year?
Sorry?
What has impressed you so far, just about the offense in general this year?
You know, we've definitely moved the ball a lot more than we did last year or into this point of the season. You know, we've seen more fluid, and we just touch each other a little bit more.
Now I got to go to the other side. What have you not liked about what the offense has done this year?
I can't really tell you. We just got to put some things together. You know, we leave a lot of plays up there, but other than that,
take me inside the practice real quick. I read something interesting that said that I saw that Bobby Wilder says if you fumble the ball in practice, you're out for. Are you out for the rest of the practice or just that series? Because I've never heard a coach doing something like that before.
Most of the time, you're gonna sit for most of the practice. I mean, they harp on ball security, but when you get in the game, you know turnovers are crucial. So, I mean, it's definitely worth the. The emphasis.
No, I mean, listen, two turnovers in four games, but seriously, you're done the rest of the practice if you fumble? Have you ever seen a guy fumble early in practice and be like, oh, man, he's done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you fumble, it's kind of like if you lose it, I mean, if you get it back, they're probably going to let you come back in, but if you don't get it back, then you probably be done for the rest of the practice.
Have you ever fumbled in practice?
No. I almost fumbled at a game one time.
Yeah, you didn't let that happen. I want to touch you real quick, last couple questions for you. Something's being made about the Circle of Humanity, the Circle of Unity, excuse me, and the Children for Humanity that's being formed. I'm actually going to try and get a guest for a future podcast. But how much input did you guys have as players in that? Because I know a lot of guys want to make a statement, but you kind of want to do it in a different, unique way. So how did that come about?
We brought it to Coach Wilder, a few of us brought it to Coach Wilder, and, you know, he supported us like 100%, and he's behind us, and he said, well, you know, whatever is supporting us is support to him, and he was definitely behind us. So, I mean, we had a lot of input, he worked together with us, and, you know, kind of made it happen.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from fans or from other people about it?
We've gotten some negative feedback, but I mean, there's also a lot of positive feedback on campus. You know, a lot of organizations are trying, you know, help us, you know, trying to branch out and, you know, make this bigger than, you know, just a what do you think, kind of make it grow and spread positivity instead of, you know, a lot of negative stuff going on right now. So,
yeah, and sometimes the first step is the hardest. Hey, listen, last question, what do you guys got to do to go into Charlotte and get a big win this weekend?
Come and focus. You know, I'm pretty sure if their homecoming is going to be. They're going to be jacked up to play. I mean, we just got to come in there with a level head, not be too big for the moment, and just, you know, cover the show up like we usually do.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, and have a good time in Charlotte.
Like I said, thank you.
All right, continuing on into the podcast, want to welcome Justice Davila to the program. 6 foot, 187 pounds, junior out of, was it Ariel, New Jersey? How do you say that?
Ariel, New Jersey.
Listen, I've noticed that if you look at the roster, there's obviously a lot of Virginia players on this team, but there's a lot of guys from New Jersey. Why do you think that is?
Hey, honestly, when I came here, I was actually a bit surprised to see the amount of the New Jersey players that were here. But, I mean, New Jersey is definitely a great state for football, north and south. So, I mean, that isn't necessarily surprising to me, but I just had known that we were such a good filter to them. So that was definitely a bit of a shock to me.
Moving on to the defense. The defense, we heard before the season started that it has improved, and it looks like it has across the board. What have you seen that's different this year from years past?
I would just say the amount of experience that a lot of us have. You know, me coming in my freshman year, the talk that was in a lot of papers here and there were that we were a young team. And, I mean, this is now a good 2 years later. So, I mean, that experience is just built up in a lot of us. Some players that got redshirted, you know, they were able to put on a good amount of weight and just focus in on the plays and get ready mentally if it wasn't necessarily on the field. So that definitely is a goal for a lot of us.
What do you like about the defense right now?
I would just say our mindset and just going as hard as we can, you know. The lackadaisicalness isn't there as it was before. You know, if we make a mistake, now more than ever, it's a hard mistake. You know, we put all our effort into it. And at that point, you can get mad at it, but we're going as hard as we can.
All right. And on the other side, I got to ask, what do you not like about the defense right now? What do you think needs to be worked on?
I would just say just staying on your duty. You know, we go in every game. We have a great scouting report to our coaches. We know what to do, what not to do, what to look for. And as long as we just stay in tune to that and shut out all the extra noise, all the other distractions, we'll be fine. Just stay tuned in what we're supposed to do day in and day out.
Three interceptions for the defense this year, 12 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, creating multiple turnovers in games. How is that addressed in practice? I mean, because ball hawking, I think it's something that can be coached to a degree. So how is that approached? And because you guys are proving it every week that you can create turnovers.
Well, I mean, we've got the guys, we've got the players. That wasn't necessarily in question, but we do work on it, you know, every day. Just getting the ball out, getting after it. We want to come to practice and work on getting at least 2 to 3 turnovers a day, you know, just that we're, it's a norm. You know, so when we go into the game, it's just by nature we've been practicing it, so.
Take me inside the practice real quick, because I read something, and I've never heard a coach who's done this before, where if an offensive player fumbles, he's out of practice the rest of the game. So do you guys have fun with that? Because I imagine if you force a fumble, that guy's out practicing. There's got to be some kind of maybe game within a game at practice. Is there, or am I reading too much into this?
Well, I mean, as players and ourselves, you know, teammates, friends, it kind of adds a bit of competition between us, you know. You know, the offense wants to hold on to the ball, but as opposed to defense, we're trying to get after it. So, I mean, at that point, it allows even more of a competition than there already was. And at the end of the day, we're making each other better because when we get on the field, the offense is going to have to hold on to the ball to you know, keep the drive going so we can get points on the board. And as a defense, those turnovers help us in getting better situations.
I want to touch with you real quick. There has been some adventures in the kicking game. It looks like they're fixing it. Brad Davis getting the call up. But how does that affect in-game? Or does that affect the message Bobby Wilder gives before the game? You know, because, you know, when you have sometimes points that don't get put on the board, it kind of changes, you know, the approach. And now it's a 6-point lead, not a 7 or something along that line. So how is that manifested on game day, those struggles for the kicking team?
Well, I mean, missing any type of element in the game, you know, it's going to affect the team, and not necessarily having that full-on trust in kicking, it definitely affects us. And as you can see, sometimes points are left not on the board, but we're working on it, and we're going to perfect everything that needs to be perfected.
Last couple questions I wanted to talk to you about, the Circle of Unity. I know, you know, a lot of times the political demonstrations are pretty popular now, but some people feel you're doing the right way or the wrong way. But how did you guys decide to do that, and what was the feedback that you've been getting from it?
Well, I mean, we all decided as a team, coaches, players, everyone's included, how we wanted to do it, what message we were trying to get across. And, I mean, the feedback we have, it's here and there, but we're going to do what we want. We have our own vision of what message we're trying to get across. You know, we have the hashtag Walt. We've got some things going on. The community around us is behind us. So, I mean, we've got our message sent across. We just want to let people know that we're acknowledging everything that's going on.
Yeah, and sometimes the first step is the hardest one to take. Last question for you, Justice. You know, big trip to Charlotte. You know, their home opener, their Conference USA opener, and I think their homecoming. What do you guys got to do to come away with a win down there?
Just stay positive. You know, take every game that we've had and lessons learned, and take it on to this game. You know, come in as pumped as we can and ready to stay on top of our conference. You know, this game's going to be huge, and every game after that. So we've got to take it in stride and just have it on the mindset that we need to win.
No. I'm right there with you. Every game is, it seems like every game is big, and every game's going to come to the fourth quarter. I mean, is that something that you guys kind of see going forward as well?
Well, you know, as much as we would like it not to, we would rather be safe and comfortable in the first quarter, you know. But some games get down to it, and we're a pretty clutch team when it comes down to the fourth. So if it happens, so be it. We got to come out with the win regardless.
Nice. Well, Justice, thank you very much for your time, and have a good time in Charlotte this weekend. Get that W.
You're welcome. Hey, thank you.
The music you heard on the show, the first song you heard was Drake, Hotline Bling. That was for Jonathan Duhart. He just said pick a Drake song. That's all he cared about, was just play a Drake song. So that was the first one I found. By the way, that video, 950 million views. Wow, that's 950 million, almost a billion views. That's incredible. And I don't even think I've heard that song all the way through. I just heard that first part many times. The second song, I'm a Boss by Meek Mill featuring Rick Ross. That was Justice Davila's request. I actually had a chance to interview Rick Ross a couple times. He lives down here in Florida. And he's a big boy, man. That beard's the real deal. And he's a big boy, but also a very nice guy. And the last song you heard, I Got Mine by the Black Keys. That's one of my pump-up songs. That's a song I like when I'm at the gym and, you know, about to do some deadlifting or something like that and a little pump up. That's the song that gets me going. So I like that classic Rocky Blues type feel. All right, let's talk a little trivia. Last week's question, who had the longest field goal in ODU history? Of course, that was Jared Brown, 53 yards at Heinz Field. I think that's still the career long or the record long for that stadium. I'm not sure if it's been beaten yet. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find it. I'll have to try to find it next week. But the trivia winner is Mark Mercel. He sent me the answer on Twitter. Congratulations. He is an egg. I don't know how I feel about giving an egg a prize. I think you should have a picture, but, you know, he wins. Mike Mercel, congratulations. Next week, here's the next question. All right, Jonathan Duhart last year had 160 yards versus UTSA. So it's a pretty simple question. Who holds the all-time single-game receiving record for yardage in a game for ODU? I need the player, and I need how many yards. If you want to give me the game, too, but that doesn't matter. But I need player and yards. Once again, trivia question for this week. Jonathan Duhart had 160 yards receiving last year against UTSA. Who holds the all-time single-game receiving record for yardage in a game for ODU? I'll put a message on the message board. You can tweet me the answer, direct message me if you follow me. But I'll also put a message on the message board so the message board people can send me a message that way. And, yeah, we'll do that. And then also Facebook. If you want to leave it on Facebook, that'll work too. I basically go first come, first serve. Whoever answers it first gets the prize. You can't win more than once. So, yeah, so that's basically how it works. The prize, we have prizes every week. Prizes will be gift certificates to our sponsors, Andrea's Pizzeria, located in Chesapeake, two locations in Chesapeake. I used to work at Andrea's, great Italian food, great pizza. I love the calzones. Vinicio, the owner, Vinny, the son, they do such a great job cooking the food, traditional Italian. Whenever I'm in town, I always get a calzone. And I love eating there. And then, of course, we also have Newman's Family Health Mart. This is a family-run pharmacy right in the heart of Great Bridge. I'm really big on helping local businesses. I think that's the heartbeat of America. I try to avoid going to the big box stores whenever possible. I know it costs an extra penny, but I just think that's the way to do it. You know, I mean, saving money is very, very important, but, you know, I don't know. I'm a small business guy, so at least I try to be. But it's Newman's Family Pharmacy. Check it out. That's in the heart of Great Bridge. They have all your pharmacy needs, and, you know, basically whatever you see in a normal pharmacy, that's what you get. So there's a lot of stuff you can get there. So you can win a $25 gift certificate to one of those two places if you win the trivia. Now, this is where I normally talk about the opponent coming up, but I got to be honest, I've been a little busy this week, so I haven't really looked at Charlotte. I know it's their conference opener. I know it's a 6 p.m. kickoff. That's about all I know about Charlotte, so I'm sorry. I wish I did a little more prep work on that. I didn't. All I know is, listen, this is going to be another close game. I'm not expecting ODU to run away from anybody this year, not the way they've been playing, not with some of the inconsistencies on offense, the problem in third and long. So here's one of my key to the game. Let's just get in third and short. Let's avoid third and long. I think ODU will have a great chance this game to win it if they can avoid third and long. Give me third and four or shorter, because then that keeps that run game honest, and then the pass plays are a little shorter. So, you know, that's my key. Let's avoid third and long. I wanted to address something real quick, the Circle of Unity, which I know has been a talking point for ODU this week with what they did before the game. I know before the game last week, there were some players wearing Black Lives Matter shirts in kickoff and warm-ups. I know Bobby Wilder supported that. You know, I think this is a new era for athletes. I think that they're all with Twitter and with the way social media is. Each player can kind of be their own PR agent. So I'm fine with players, you know, whether it be wearing a shirt to sponsor, to advertise a specific social issue, or even kneeling during the anthem, which I know is pretty controversial. I'm fine with players doing that, but I need to see action with that anger. I don't understand people who get angry and complain, but choose to do nothing about what angers them so much. And what I like about what ODU's doing is also a little bit like the Miami Dolphins are doing down here, is they're putting actions behind their protest or words. Not that ODU protested, but, you know, the Circle of Unity, when they were on the field before the game in a circle holding hands, you know, it was a sign, it was a statement. You know, some of the Dolphin players that kneel down here are doing extra work with the Rise program that the owner Stephen Ross has formed. I actually shot an event the other day where they had invited kids and community leaders to a pregame tailgate with police officers, military, and other community leaders. And it's a start, you know. People think that, some people I know think they're just doing that for show. Well, hey, at least they're doing it. But I like what ODU's doing, forming a program called Children for Humanity. It's going to do some mentoring, some coaching with kids. I know it's still early in the development. I guess there's a hashtag WALT, watch, accept, listen, and tolerate. I'm going to get a lot more information on this later, but right now, here's Bobby Wilder talking about it.
I met with the captains on Thursday, and we're all just, you know, we're heartbroken about what's going on in our country right now and what's happening, and we just tried to say, what can we do that can bring positive attention and not take a side, not pick a side, and just say, hey, you know what, we need to come together, and that's when we decided this Circle of Unity, and what we meant was it's black people, it's white people, it's Hispanic people, it's our team. Our team's a melting pot, Doug, me included. We all are. So every coach, every player was in that circle of unity with our hands held high. And we wanted to show that this wasn't an issue of black or white. This wasn't an issue of do we trust the police, don't we trust the police, or what's going on in our country. It was, let's unite and get together. And what we're going to do, Doug, we're going to start an organization that we've decided as a team that we're calling it Children for Humanity, the number four, Children for Humanity. And right now, Doug, our rhetorical question to everybody listening is, who's thinking about the children right now? What are the kids thinking when they go on their phones and they look at social media and they see what's happening in Tulsa or they see what's happening in Charlotte? What are the kids thinking right now about their future? What are they thinking about the adults? So we're going to start this organization. We're going to get with young people. Our players want to be a role model to the young people, and it's all about watching people, accepting people, listening to people, tolerating people, what we're calling hashtag Walt. And we're going to start this as a team, and we want to show that we're unified in something special for our country. And it starts with the most unbiased people in the world, Doug. It starts with children.
The first scheduled event should be coming up soon, in a week or two, and I'm working on getting an interview to learn more about that. I'm going to try and get maybe an interview for in the podcast 2 or 3 weeks away. I'd want the event to go through first and have it actually happen before we see, you know, what's going on. So I want to see how they organize it, but I think it's great to see. Like I said, I want to see some action. If something angers you so much that you think it should be changed, I think of the Mahatma Gandhi quote, be the change you want to see in the world. So I think it's one thing just to complain about it, but it's a complete other thing to put some kind of action behind it. So you'll at least get my respect a little bit for doing that, regardless of your intentions. So, you know, Kaepernick, you kneeled. I don't think I would have done it that way. But you're donating money and helping out? Okay, at least you're trying to fix the problem that you think that you see exists. And the same thing for the Dolphins and the same thing for the Monarchs. You know, be the change you want to see in the world. So I give them credit for doing that. Let's just see how far it goes and how they take it. Now, as far as for my last 4 days, Jose Fernandez, I just want to finish with these couple thoughts. You know, it was just a backbreaker for the community down here. I think everyone knows what a great player he was. But I don't think people realize the personality was, you know, it's very rare that you have an athlete fits the city where he plays to a T, just a perfect fit for the city. You know, Jose Fernandez, you know, coming from Cuba on a boat with his family, saving his mother on one of the trips from drowning. You know, for a team too, the Marlins, that have really lost the city through years of not even bad play, but bad management and poor management and ownership, treating the city really as, you know, however they wanted. You know, there's not a lot of Marlins fan. Jose Fernandez was the guy bringing them back. He got them back at least every fifth day. You know, the only time I went to a Marlins game was when the Cubs were in town or Jose was pitching, because there was always a chance to see something special. You know, 17 strikeouts, 8 innings shutout. And he was dynamic like that. And he did always have a smile. So it's, you know, Miami Sun, they lost him. And it's a real loss. I think everyone knows it's a loss for baseball, but I don't think realize how big it was, because that guy was a superstar. And he was going to look great in a Cubs uniform one day, because the Marlins weren't going to re-sign him. So that was my last 4 days. So like I said, sorry about not being as maybe focused on the podcast this week as normal, but man, it's been a drain in that locker room being around that, you know, and yeah, just quite a story. So yeah, let's wrap it up. But first of all, I also finally have to give thanks to my sister, Monica. She did some advertising for me at the last ODU game, going through and putting some flyers in some of the garages. Hopefully you got a couple listeners. If you're listening and you got the flyer on your car, thank you very much for checking us out. And as far as this game next week, hey, go get it done. Go get a big win. You got some momentum. You got some positive vibes going after that first game. You know, a lot of good stuff on tape, but also a lot of bad stuff. And like I said, it's going to be close all year. And let's just hope the kicking game doesn't screw us completely. That's what I'm most worried about. But I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, just focus on the extra points, and it'll be better. And I think you know, Bobby's a man of his word. I believe he's going to go with the kicking game, but let's see how quick he is with the trigger to take it off. If it's another shank job or another, you know, block, we hope not. But if this kicking game struggles early, don't think Bobby's going to go old school and start, you know, pushing the pedal to the metal. That's always a possibility. But get your antacid, get an extra six pack of beer. You know, whatever you do to relax, you might want to have some extra of it around you during these games, because I think they're going to be a roller coaster the rest of the year. Anyways, that's it. That's the last this episode of the Monarch Asylum podcast. I want you to thank you for tuning in. If it's your first time, I hope you liked it. Please follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at ODU Asylum. Please tell your friends. Please tell your family. Highly appreciate it. And that's it. Go Monarchs.